certainly have enjoyed being here this week. You've been a great crowd to preach to, and you made it very easy for me. I appreciate you coming out night after night. In these warm summer nights, there's so many other things to do, and it's just been very heartwarming. Thank the McGees also for their hospitality, and always enjoy staying with them. We've been thinking this week of people in the life of David, and we've looked at some men and some women. And tonight we're going to look at three. But you don't have to worry, I'm not going to preach over time, because I'm going home right after this meeting. So if you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15, if you are interested, by the way, in any of the books on the table, now's the last opportunity that you have, and you have to be quick, because I'm packing them up and taking them on. So if you want one, please don't hang around, get out there and get one, get two, get three, get one free, and make sure you get to heaven. Chapter 15, 2 Samuel, verse 19, verse 18. And all his servants passed on beside him. This is, of course, the time of the Absalom rebellion. And all the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there will thy servant be. Verse 24. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. Verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the counselors, among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Now, whatever he thought he could do like that, I don't know, but there it is. He must have been quite a sight. And to whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say to Absalom, I'll be thy servant, O king, as I've been thy father's servant hitherto, now will I also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Verse 37. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city. Trust the Holy Spirit will bless the reading of his word to our hearts again this evening. This is the story of three men brought together by the Holy Spirit, men who stood by David in the days of his rejection. Each one quite different from the other one. It'd be very difficult to find three men grouped together who were more different than these three men. Yet each one of them is doing something to hasten the second coming of David. I think of Ittai as the master of the sword. I think of Zadok the priest as a minister of the sanctuary. And I think of Hushai, David's friend, as a messenger to the soul. Now you see, God has got something for you to do to hasten the second coming of the King. We're living in crisis days today, and God is looking for those he can use to hasten the soon coming of his beloved Son. If you can't be an Ittai, maybe you can be a Zadok. And if you can't be either an Ittai or a Zadok, maybe you can be a Hushai. If you can't be a master of the sword, maybe you can be a minister of the sanctuary. And if you can't be a minister of the sanctuary, maybe God would use you anyway to be a messenger to somebody's soul. We're going to look at these three men. Not one of them could do the other fellow's job. But each was doing what was his particular thing to hasten the return of David. Now, when we look at this man, Ittai, we're told that he was a Gittite. And of course, that doesn't say very much to the casual reader of the Bible, but it, of course, said a lot to people in those days, because it simply means that he came from the city of Gath. That, of course, was a Philistine city. It was a Gentile city. It was the very city that Goliath had come from. Now, David had been to Gath on two occasions. The first time he went to Gath was an absolute disaster. When he finally escaped, he wrote a psalm about it. But later on, he went back. And that was quite different, because when he went back the second time, he took with him 600 men of Israel. And these were men who were the offscouring of the nation. They were failures. Every single one of them was a failure or a misfit. They were men who were in debt, men who were in distress, and men who were discontented. They were nobodies. They were failures, and yet one by one, these men had come to David, and David had changed them. He'd transformed them. And he turned them into his mighty men, and they became the backbone of his kingdom in days to come. And when he went down to Gath on that second occasion, he took with him these 600 men who had given their hearts to him, and whose lives had been touched and transformed just by being with him. It wasn't long, you know, before these 600 men of Israel made an impact upon that pagan city. And it wasn't long either before people would say, well, what's different about you fellows? They would say, well, it's David makes the difference. And we were just failures. There's nothing about us. I mean, we were just wretched, miserable failures. That's all we were until we gave our hearts to David, and David just changed us, and we're like we are because he's like he is. And he's just made us like him. And the impact of the testimony of 600 men whose lives had been transformed by the Lord's anointed down there in that pagan city was so great that when they came back out, they brought with them 600 men of Gath. I suppose if you state the equation mathematically, you'd have to say that each one had won one. They brought with them these 600 men of Gath, Gentiles, whose lives too had been touched and transformed by David. Through the testimony of these who knew him. When the Absalom rebellion broke out, Ittai, who was the leader of the 600 Gittites, he said, you know, man, he said, there's only one thing we can do in the crisis hour in this nation's history. We've got to stand up for David. And they did. They came to David. And did you notice what David said? Oh, he said, well, thanks a lot. Ittai, appreciate it very much. It's very kind of you, and I just appreciate it. Well, why don't you go back home? I mean, I don't want you to feel that you're under any obligation. And you're quite at liberty, you know, my dear friend, you're quite at liberty. Go back home if you want to. Take your fellows with you. I mean, you haven't been saved very long. I don't expect you, you know, unless you... just feel free to go on home. You see, there are three ways that we can serve the Lord Jesus. We can serve him out of a sense of discipline, we can serve him out of a sense of duty, or we can serve him out of a sense of devotion. Now, you can serve him out of a sense of discipline. Discipline says, I have to. Somebody gets a hold of you, puts the heat on, puts the pressure on, twists your arm, and you say, well, I guess I'll have to. Well, don't bother, he didn't want that kind of service. Or you can serve him out of a sense of duties. Duty says, I ought to. I suppose I ought to take my turn in the nursery. After all, I've got 12 kids in there. I hate doing nursery duty, but I suppose I ought to. And I suppose I ought to take my turn on the roster of cleaning up the chapel. I mean, people might talk if I don't, but I don't really like it, and I don't want to do it, but I suppose I ought to do it, and I ought to teach that Sunday school class. Well, listen, friend, if that's the way you're doing it, why don't you quit? Don't want that kind of service. Here were 600 men of Gath, and David said, look, you fellas, you don't have to, you know. You're under no obligation. Don't feel that you have to, and don't feel that you ought to. Now, devotion says, I want to. And that's what these men said. They said, we want to, David, or we want to. I love what Ittai said. He said, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, even there will thy servant be. Oh man, David, I'd rather die for you than live without you. David said, okay, Thomas, I've got a job for you. There's something else that's lovely about this man, Ittai, and his noble 600. I don't know if you noticed in the text, it says that Ittai, the Gittite, passed over with all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Now, it so happens very often, you know, that those who get busy in the Lord's work get so busy they lose their families in the process. And that's a great tragedy. It's happening all the time. It's been one of the great heartaches of this generation. Lost their families in the process of serving the Lord. Well, this man Ittai and his 600 men, they were going to go all out for David, no doubt about that, but they were going to make sure their families came along. Now, you see, he was a master of the sword. That was his specialty. He knew how to use the sword in battle. You know what the sword speaks of in the symbolism of Scripture, of course? The Bible speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Ittai was a man who knew how to take a sword in his hand, and he knew how to cut down the enemy with that sword. He knew how to go into battle. He knew how to use it in the cut and thrust, the give and take of an engagement. He knew how to do that. It's not easy, not nearly so easy as it looks. If you go into battle with a sword and you don't know how to use it, you're in trouble. Nittai knew how to use a sword. And I want to tell you that in this day in which we live, as we are living in a godless age, and we're living in an age when all kinds of phonies are running around pretending to be Christians, and we're up against all kinds of cults and all the rest of it, it's a day and an age when God needs men who can use the sword. And you don't get to use a sword, you know, in 5 minutes. You've got to spend a long time learning how to do that. And you don't just get to preach from this book and to expound this book in 5 or 10 minutes a day. It's a lifetime study. God needs men like that. Masters of the sword, people who are able to take the word of God and bring the cutting edge of that word across the consciences of men and women. You have any Hittites around, thank God for it. They're desperately needed today. It's a grand thing to be an Hittite. But you know, not everybody can be an Hittite. Not everybody can be a master of the sword. That's not everybody's thing. God hasn't called everybody to do the same job. He hasn't gifted everybody in the same way. He hasn't equipped us all to do exactly the same work. Some people have a spiritual gift from God, the Holy Spirit, and somehow he, as they study the word, they seem to get tremendous insights out of the word. And people say, well, I never saw that before. And maybe that's not your gift, you see. But if you can't be an Hittite, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to know your Bible, because God holds us all responsible to know the Bible. I'm talking about the special ability that some people have with the Word of God. But if you can't be an Hittite, maybe God wants you to be a Zadok. Now, Zadok was quite a different type altogether. He wasn't a master of the sword. He was a minister of the sanctuary. He was quite a different stamp altogether. Contrast could hardly be greater. Ittai was a Gentile. He was a Philistine. He'd been born a pagan, raised in the city of Gath, grown up under Goliath. The only god he'd ever known as a boy was the pagan god Dagon. Half man, half fish, silly thing. It wasn't until he was well on in years that he came to know David, and he very quickly discovered his gift and put it at David's feet. Zadok, on the contrary, was a priest. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a tribe of Levi, circumcised the eighth day, father of David. A man who was raised as a boy from his very earliest days to be a priest. Not everybody could be a priest, you see. And when he was just a little fellow, you know, sitting around table, as soon as he was able to understand things, his mommy and his daddy would start to teach him that one day he was going to be a priest. That God had already set his seal upon him and had already separated him from his